From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It's like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in his garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today is what we mark with sadness. 500th anniversary of the split in the church in the West, we remember that eventually the theological justification for the sin against the unity that Christ had prayed for and all the sins that had precipitated that type of drastic move was about justification, which we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, about how we get into a right relationship with the Lord. Earlier in this letter, St. Paul was describing that it happens by grace through faith working in love. Yesterday, we began to talk in this 8th chapter about how it's not by our own works, it's not by our life according to materiality, what St. Paul calls the flesh, but it's by the Spirit of God, the grace of God Himself, poured out into our hearts to help us to seek the things that are above, to think of the things of the Spirit, and to put to death in us whatever's not worthy of God. Today we get another advance on that understanding of the true nature of our becoming right with the Lord. It happens, we could say, embryonically. St. Paul says, "In hope we were saved." Spe Salvi was the title of Pope Benedict's encyclical of a decade ago. We are saved in hope. We're truly saved, but we don't have everything that comes yet through that great gift. We have enough, but God wants to give us even more. We see that even in the text that St. Paul gives us. St. Paul tells us in this passage, we await adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And I know because you hang on every word that comes from the mouth of God, you remember what we had yesterday with regard to adoption. But you received, past tense, preterite, a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, Abba, Father. This isn't a contradiction. These are two complementary truths. That yes, we have received that spirit of adoption, but that spirit is at work bringing us toward the full consequences of that reality. And so we Catholics will say justification is not a one done past experience, but that it's an ongoing experience, that justification and sanctification are always going together, because life according to the Spirit is dynamic, because the grace of God never stops flowing when we remain open to it, nor does the outflow stop through faith working through love. We see this reality of the now and the not yet, the embryonic participation, in today's gospel when Jesus compares what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed. The kingdom is already present in the mustard seed. Just like when we were a one-cell embryo, we had our entire genetic complement. But that mustard seed grows, and our faith is meant to grow, and the kingdom is meant to grow. It's all, in a sense, there, but it's not in its fully mature state yet. Likewise, we can have tremendous confidence in the image of the East, that just a little bit of leaven can, in fact, lift up the whole batch of dough. But for us to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit, we need to have this great gift of hope. Pope Benedict, in that encyclical, Saved in Hope, tied faith and hope together in the biblical mentality. That faith is an absolute certainty about the things we don't see. Just like Abraham could look up into the blue sky in the book of Genesis and count the stars. Couldn't see them, but he knew that they were there. Faith is tied into this confident assurance in the fulfillment of all God gives, which is hope. They're always interconnected. And so, even when we're small, we know what the Lord intends to do, and we have total confidence in that. Just like the Jews in the Psalms today knew that the Lord would rescue them, that he would take them back to Zion from Babylon. That even though they have gone forth weeping, carrying seed, they would come back rejoicing, carrying sheaves full of the harvest. Shouldn't say unfortunately, but in some sense, when you only get the letter of the Romans once every 2 years, we can regret that we've got All Saints Day tomorrow and All Souls Day the day after. We get to two great money sections in this eighth chapter. In the way that we live out this justification and hope. Tomorrow we've got that beautiful passage we should never forget, because our people likewise need to hear it. Everything works out for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his plan. That a lot of the times the Lord helps us to grow in faith, to grow in hope, precisely by putting us in those circumstances in which we need to exercise those theological virtues. So a lot of the times, bad things will happen to good people. But it's out of those that the Lord wants to bring far greater good. And then on Thursday, we will have that passage many of us will probably have for our funeral mass. That nothing in all of creation, neither death, nor danger, nor distress, nor the sword, nor anything whatsoever, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if God the Father didn't even spare his own Son, but handed him over for us all, would he not give us everything else besides? This is the exercise of that faith-filled hope. That when we are in those circumstances, which we think that they might be hopeless, from an earthly perspective, God, in fact, is working to draw out from those experiences something phenomenal, and we have every reason to have confidence. Because if God the Father loved us so much that he exchanged his Son's life for our own, wouldn't he give us everything else too? That is the faith that is at the root of our becoming just with God. It's an extraordinary gift of his grace. And we thank him. There's one other passage that would be tomorrow's first reading. Just we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. We could say we don't know how to hope as we ought. Don't know how to believe as we ought. We don't know how to love as we ought. But God's already provided a remedy. We do have that mustard seed, that little touch of yeast within, but the Lord wants to help it to grow. What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It's what he wants to be able to illustrate by our life when it's over. And he sends the Holy Spirit to help make that happen.